Welcome to the ninth episode of the Nonstop Podcast with Pooja. With me, I have Reshmi Cherian. Hello,
Hi, Pooja. Thank you for this invitation.
Reshmi. It's lovely to have you here. And just a bit of background about Reshmi and how grateful I am for Reshmi to join with us today. Reshmi is a nutritionist, and by this I mean she was a clinical nutritionist treating stroke patients for the longest time before she did a journey dive into sports nutritionist, which is now helping athletes with their performance, with their health, with their agility, and so on. So it's lovely to have you with me today as my ninth guest. So a little bit about yourself, Reshmi.
Yeah, thank you so much for this invitation, Pooja. And even I'm equally excited to be here and talk more about sports nutrition and my journey as well. So quickly, in short, see, my journey is not that quite exciting, but yes, it has a little bit of touch of something different because I come from an era wherein we didn't have different specialties in. For that matter, forget about specialties. We didn't even have nutrition per se. When I took nutrition as a subject to study, a lot of people questioned me, what is that? Because that was more about taking medicals to become doctor or taking that physics, chemistry, maths to be engineer. But what happened is like I moved to a very different subject, and it was newly launched in our university. So what happened, why I picked up, because I was one studious person. So nutrition was one subject wherein I had to study some 15 plus subjects. Okay, so most of the people who were around me, they're like, are you one crazy female wherein people like to stay away from study and you are going for so many options, like subjects in that. And I was more like, I will have more options to pick up tomorrow once I finish my graduation. So that was my motivation at that point, just to pick up nutrition. I didn't know what am I going to do later on because we didn't have many options as such at that point. So that was the reason I studied, and that's why through your medium, I want to say that you cannot be a nutrition qualified dietitian just by doing some course. We have studied so many subjects and it's a long duration study. So I did that, and for my internship and to be a registered dietitian after my master's, for my license number, we had to do some clinical practice and internships, all of that. So once I finished that, I happened to get a job in the stroke department in CMC Hospital under Dr. Jayaraj. So, and I'm very grateful that I had that privilege of working under the Vice President of Stroke Association. So under him, I also did one research which was published in two international journals, and I presented in World Congress of Neurology. So there I worked for almost 4.5, 5 years. Deeply, I did the research, and it was giving me a kind of satisfaction wherein I'm helping all the clinical patients, especially stroke patients. But what happened after 5 years or so, I had to change my location, move to another city. And from Ludhiana, Punjab, I moved to Bangalore. And here I was exposed, wherever I was working, I was exposed to more of athletes. And there it just gave me a different perspective because I never heard about it at that point. It was just coming in the picture. And while working, what happened while I was working with clinical patients, I was feeling satisfied, but somewhere I was taking the burden and the stress of the people on me. When I started working with athletes, what happened, my perspective around a lot of things changed. I started taking care of myself also, learned so many things about myself. And that helped me to transition, though it was not easy. I had to restudy sports nutrition. And then, and slowly, slowly, I moved towards handling athletes completely, apart from the clinical. But clinical just helps me to deal with a lot of medical issues also when I get athletes with PCOD, sugar levels, uric acid. So my clinical experience really helps me in dealing with athletes and helping their performance.
Yeah, before we jump on to the complete sports nutrition aspect of things, because in today's time it's such a, trendy topic and everybody wants to get in shape, everybody wants to feel good, everyone's discussing muscle longevity, everyone's
Yes.
discussing their fun terminologies like dopamine, serotonin.
Yes.
This is not just for athletes because an average person today in comparison to 10 years ago, they have much more knowledge and awareness about not
Correct.
just about strength training, food habits, lifestyle choices, and so on. So before, like, I jump into this, I'm just intrigued to ask, because you worked with stroke patients and neurology and nutrition, which, because this is not something that most often we see, or we
Correct.
hear about. What do you think, even if people who have, like, are born with such epilepsy issues, or what is that one major thing that you would say that needs to be in the diet, like from your stroke patient's perspective?
Yes. So it was a multi-center research all over India. Multiple hospitals and centers were included. So what I found was like, and it was mainly about the food. So their overall lifestyle. See, most of the neurological problems are not hereditary, and you're not born with it majority times. Okay, it's your lifestyle. Basically, the deficiencies that are running in you and overall your food intake that is there that is triggering you. So all those things come in the picture. And a lot of times, most of the time, we as humans ignore the triggers. So even my dad is a four-time stroke survivor. Okay, four times. Recently in August, he was in hospital for a massive brain hemorrhage. That was his fourth attack. So the thing is this. Your lifestyle is one thing. Second thing that in his case and in general also is your stress level that is causing your brain to explode actually. We have a lot of stress. Even small kids have stress nowadays. So this is something that needs to be taken care of when neurological conditions come in the picture. A lot of triggers also we need to focus on what is the reason, because basically your sugar levels could be high, your BP could have shot up. Like in my dad's case, it was his BP that went up really high. And for something small, he took stress to next level. With that, he ended up. Otherwise, he's a very healthy individual.
So
So,
what is that
yeah.
one, like, because we have to talk about the main topic that I am here with you for. So, but what did you see that one specific? I'm sure each body type is different, but what did you see commonly in neurological patients, that one nutrition aspect that was missing?
Missing is all about not having a balanced meal. So that's why they most of them will have either sugar issues or the BP issues or cholesterol, which will lead to, especially in stroke patients, either a clot or a brain hemorrhage. Okay. So that's why I always tell people to keep a regular check on their blood reports. It's very, very important. Keep a track, because most of the people will say it happened suddenly. No, it didn't happen suddenly. Body was giving you triggers. So, Apooja, I cannot say that there is one thing that is responsible for it, but it's an overall thing that comes in the picture. So, it's the overall thing that you need to take care of your health. It can turn out to be in the form of heart attack or a brain attack. Any of these things can happen, and both have the similar reasons behind it.
Yeah, they always say, get rid of the heavy topics at first so that we can discuss the lighter topics. But I think with our discussion, it's not going to get any lighter. But with the sports athletes, yeah. So I have a background of sports for a very brief time in my life. I have had individuals in my family who are still involved in sports for a larger extent. I have seen, witnessed not just injuries myself, but also around me, constantly surrounded by sports and sports players. But just to pick up an A point with you to start the Pandora box of discussion, what do you feel is the key challenges of treating, say, for example, a male athlete versus a female athlete? Because most often what we do not understand is that no two body
Yes.
type is different and no two gender type is different. We all have different chemicals in our body.
Correct.
It's not discussed enough. So what would you say that there are some of the key challenges when you treat male versus female
Female
athletes?
athlete. See what happens, the principles of general nutrition remain same for both of them, but the differences lies basically in the physiology, hormones, and their energy needs. So see, both of them need to focus on getting proper nutrition, hydration, recovery. But female athletes do have special considerations. Like, see, one of the important issues that I deal with female athletes, and they also need to check, is like, are they getting enough energy? Because, and this is why it is important, because of the hormonal fluctuations that happens across their menstrual cycle. And when they don't eat enough, they're not getting enough energy. There's something, a condition called relative energy deficiency in sport, RELES we call it, which has an impact on the performance, bone health, and menstrual cycle, which is again connected with female athlete triad. Okay, so their bones started getting weak, hormonal health gets impacted, and their overall performance gets impacted. So one of the key feature when it comes to female athletes because of their menstrual cycle is they need to focus on getting enough energy. And that's where, and this is pretty common among female athletes, where a lot of physique or the body issues are there. So a lot of times I tell athletes, you are not trying to be a model, but you are an athlete. Because a lot of them come to me, I want to be like this slim, I want to be thin. A lot of it is influenced by social media, due to which they don't eat enough. So this is one thing that is pretty common among female athletes. Second thing, which is widespread prevalent, especially among endurance female athletes, is low iron levels. Very, very common. And low means extremely low, that they do need help of sometimes blood transfusion or heavy supplementation to improve their iron levels. So in fact, as per the studies, approximately 35% of the females in endurance sports are low in iron. So they are prone for iron deficiency anemia, which leads to many other issues in the body. And overall, they don't get performance. And not only physically they are sick, mentally also they get sick and performance is gone overall. So these are the few things that we need to focus on when it comes to female athletes.
Yeah, and like you correctly mentioned, right? Like we do not everyone puts themselves on the same pedestal in today's time of social media of evaluation, and we do not rightly focus on what's our actual goal from, say, for example, a person working on a desk job to an athlete.
Athlete.
Yeah, you said that energy levels needs to be extremely high. And you said that there's also recurringly that you see that not enough intake of food or, right nutrition goes into the body. So, for example, for athletes, specifically now we're discussing women, what would you say is an ideal meal, or like how much do you quantize they are supposed to intake? Is it because they're burning so much of calories that they need to be taking slightly more protein or more fiber or carbohydrates? How do you see this? How do you quantize their increased energy intake?
Yes, so the thing is this, it's not one specific thing, but it is based on their sport. Like a weightlifter will have different requirements compared to a female football player. Okay, so their training intensities. Now, somebody is training 2 hours a day compared to somebody training 4 to 6 hours a day. Like I have a tennis player, she trains almost 8 hours in a day. Okay, so based on different aspects, whatever calorie intake is coming up, they need to consume that much. The problem is they are eating less than what a normal sedentary female is eating. That's what happens. So that awareness needs to come in, that you are burning without anything easy 2,500 to 3,000 or 3,000 plus calories in a day. Your diet is not even close to 1,200 or 1,500. What is going to happen? Lot of issues will start creeping in. So what happens is, like when I work with these athletes, my approach is very much personalized. I work one-on-one with the athletes. So, and each session goes like 1 to 1.5 hours, Pooja, because I need to understand, okay, somebody telling me I have low energy. I need to dig in deep what low energy means for that athlete. Are you unable to move on the court? Your body is not moving in the pool when you're trying to swim. You are having blackouts. What is it? I have to dig deeper in that and try to understand where the problem is coming. So when it comes to, like, coming back to your question about total calories, it's based on multiple things, even in which phase they are. Are they menstruating right now? Okay, is it an off season? Is it a pre-season? What current are they in the tournaments right now? It is based on multiple things, and that's why the calories goes up or comes down. And one important aspect that comes is their body composition also. Their fat percentages, how much muscle mass. So these things are pretty common even for men as well, male athletes also. But we have to focus a lot and spread awareness and educate our female athletes that they need to eat.
That's
That's
what
what.
he said, Reshmi. Before I jump into the male athletes division of talk, I want to know how can a female athlete improve, or just a female in general? Because I am iron deficient, and I've known this since I was a very young girl. I assume this is a generic problem that across many females, especially of Indian origin, have. So, what do you suggest that we do to increase our iron content just on a day-to-day basis, by not just supplementing? Because supplements are, again, that's a topic for discussion.
Correct. Yeah. And complete absorption doesn't happen from supplements as such. So, if we want to improve, see, first of all, work on the iron. I suggest everyone to keep a check on your iron level, keep testing your iron level. Okay. At least once in quarter, once every 6 months, if you're prone for iron deficiency. Another thing that's very important is, see, we talk about spinach, dates, all of that, you get very less iron out of it. And looking at the soil conditions in today's time, because these plants and all extract iron from the soil basically. So our soil quality also is degrading. So these foods doesn't have enough of even these minerals and vitamins. So one thing that I always suggest, at least switch your utensils to iron utensils. Okay, it has seen as per the research, it increases iron like content in your food by 16%, which is pretty big. So change your non-stick pans, kadhai, or even steel ones also, and keep at least one or two pans or kadhais of this thing, iron ones. Start preparing your vegetables and food in iron utensils. That really helps in even improving your iron content in your food. And along with iron, vitamin C is very important because it increases the absorption of iron. That's why we have that habit, no, when we eat poha, we put lemon on top of it. Though we just may be adding for taste, but there is a connection between vitamin C and iron. So that also helps. And we need to see that our gut is good, because if your gut is poor, best of diet is not going to give you good nutrients or any nutrients. So if your gut is working well, then iron, calcium, whatever deficiency, if you're eating good food, you are going to get enough of nutrients.
Yeah, like gut is something that I want to discuss with you right after our male athletes. So tell us, Rishmi, what is the one thing that you see is problematic with or challenging with male athletes in today's time? And I'm sure you have had athletes because you've worked with corporates from Porsche to top leading tennis players and maybe even film stars, preparing them for
Yeah.
roles which are athletic in nature. Tell us in terms of what are the main challenges that male athletes are facing today, according to you?
Okay, so I wouldn't say specific for male population as such, challenges as such is there, but in general, it's for overall sports arena if I talk about, okay, because there's nothing specific with males as such that any particular challenge is that the whole point about is, like, we are not aware about our nutrition. We just think about I'm eating healthy. That's the whole point we are just stuck to. And healthy eating is definitely, but it's a very small part of a sports nutrition. There's way more things what you need to eat before, during, post. And one of the thing wherein I have seen a lot of male athletes are into a lot of supplementation as well. I hear more of queries and things from my male athletes compared to my female athletes, because females somewhere they also have a pressure of their parents, or they think a little bit about themselves. But majority, though it's common among both the genders, but I have got majority queries about having higher supplementation because we are doing gymming, more muscle mass. Can I take this supplement, that supplement? So this is one thing that I deal a lot with my male athletes. Otherwise, as a challenge, if you tell me, oh, there's no particular challenge as such with male population in sports.
Yeah, let's just deep dive into that topic a little bit. Yeah, so there are two things I want to discuss on that end. How effective do you think strength training is? Because it's such a, I would even say, facade of a cult now. Everybody wants to get into strength training. Is it A for everyone? Because not everyone can allow themselves to strength training due to various conditions or injuries. The second part is supplements. What is the myth behind this? I pop like five supplements every day, but is it really working? And how recurring are you supposed to take these supplements? For example, I'm taking one multivitamin every day blindly because I think that's what I am supposed to do. So, what are your thoughts on it?
Okay, so answering your first question about strength training. So, see, Pooja, Strength training is important. Let's talk about the general population. Athletes have their different kinds of fitness sessions, mix of strength, endurance, and multiple things. If I talk about general population or you and me, see, as we age, we lose muscle. Okay. And for longevity, you need to have good muscle mass in the body. Okay. Why are females are getting osteoporosis or frequent injuries and knee pain, leg pain? Some, because we are not strengthening our body. We are sitting, or in the name of fitness, we walk. Okay. Now, to walk also, you need to be fit. You need to have your joints healthy. Sometimes just because of aggressive walking or running. Now, I deal with a lot of marathon runners also. Just for the, in the name of fitness, they started running with zero strength training or zero strength activities done. So what happens is, like, strength training is a must. I always tell, especially my female clients, females, general population, strength training is a must, whether you like it or you don't like it. Do at least 2 to 3 times in a week. I'm not saying hit the gym. And see, strength training, there is a misconception about it. I myself strength train. I'm doing it from 12 plus years, Pooja. Okay. The whole point is people think you have to lift heavy weights. See, we are not doing power lifting. And I see that a lot in the gym. So we need to understand what is strength training is. Basically, you're putting strength to your muscle. It could be as basic as a resistance band. Okay, because by eating something, you don't get stronger. You need to put that pressure to your muscles to get stronger. Okay, and when we talk about strength training, another concept that comes to people is, like, I'll get muscular. I will look more masculine. I will look bulky. So a lot of people don't want to go for it. See, strength training, I've been doing it now, I would say 13, 14 years. Do I look masculine? Do I look like a man? No, I don't. The whole point is we need to understand, come out. We immediately start idolizing or looking at a bodybuilder. Strength training is not that. Strength training is you need to strengthen your muscles. You need to strengthen your joints. Okay, because these joints are going to take care of you as you are aging. You don't
Let me
want
just
to
stop
age.
you right there and ask you a very, very pertinent question, because everyone speaks about the myth about strength training. It's this information is already overloaded. Everybody understands that it's not just weightlifting or powerlifting. What my question is, do you consider, for example, activities like Pilates to be strength training? Because you, as far as I understand it, you're saying that you need to add pressure to your muscle. You need to add resistance so that from your food, you like indicate to your muscle that, hey, look, you need to start working. I need you to push in that strength. So
Yes.
for filling in the misinformation gap or curve, what would you say? Would you say something like Pilates is strength training as well, or something like yoga, for example?
See, any kind of activities can come in wherein you're using your own body weight or external weights, basically. Okay, or some kind of resistance to help in strengthening your overall body. So each kind of activities and exercises, there are different variations coming into it. Okay. What we need to focus is, like, yes, you can do Pilates, you can do yoga, you can do only cardio also. We need to have a mix of things and focusing. Yes, Pilates can be done. Focusing that I'm either using my own body weight or external weight, some kind of resistance or strength is a part of my regular, at least 3 to 4 times in a week should be there to strengthen my body. And it is important.
And just to conclude this strength bit, how would you say that people who focus on, just like one muscle only workouts? I mean, I assume that's after a beginner level, because when you go to a gym or any sports situation, they kind of say, let's do a full body workout, and then they gradually gravitate to like just isolating one muscle, session. So what is your view on it, like isolating muscle, like per body, like muscle area or groups, and strengthening it per
See,
session?
there is no general rule, Pooja.
Okay.
I do sometimes individual muscle groups, sometimes compound movements. Okay, for overall, I tell regular people, look, strength training more in terms of your own fitness. Like when you're lifting a heavy bag or walking stairs up, down, are you comfortable or you are saying, ouch, or some here and there pain is coming? So the purpose of your workout should be to support your day-to-day activity. You want to do isolation. Isolation comes more in terms of I want to have more popped up biceps, more muscular body, even though you can get with compound movement. So there are different ways of working out. There's no one thing which is right. Okay, so we can have multiple things in the workout. The whole focus, I tell everybody hitting workouts and gyms and all of that, compare it with your regular day-to-day fitness activities. You
That's
should be able to take care. That's what is the crux of the matter is for strength training.
You just popped the balloon for many people now. And about supplements, Rashmi. So what is your view on supplements and how far and how effective or what is the general
Yes.
research or science about it now?
See, supplements are something can be really good for you. And if you don't do it properly, it can be harmful or it can be of no use for your body. So as the name says, Pooja, supplement, it should be supplementing your diet, not to be an alternative. So definitely what happens is like, I see a lot of young kids and all parents are forcing their multivitamins, some green, super greens powder is there. Rather than focusing on proper food unnecessarily, a lot of pills and all, they are popping in. See, I am for it. The whole point is if I have anybody who has dietary restrictions, they are allergic to certain foods, which is restricting them to take certain nutrients, or somebody like we don't eat much of fish, can I take an omega-3 capsule instead of that? And as we are aging, our absorption of nutrients also reduces. So a good supplement, like I am not a big fan of multivitamin because what happens in multivitamin, there are so many nutrients in it. And for a lot of nutrients, you don't need supplementation. There is selenium, there is zinc, there are a lot more other vitamin A, vitamin C, for which you don't need supplementation as such. Rather, I would focus on individual nutrients, like if I'm prone for iron, low iron levels or low calcium levels, low magnesium or vitamin D, I would like to supplement myself individually with them. Okay, and along with that, certain basic supplements, there is no harm as far as you know from the source you are buying it. They are authentic brands and not just random out of the shelf. I am picking up something randomly. But I always say, please consult a qualified person before you start popping in pills because somebody is taking it and I just start taking it, or the product is from US, that means it's good and I just start taking it. No. So supplements are something good, but we need to understand which supplements I needed and in how much quantity, because each supplement comes in different strengths and dosages. Like calcium only start from 200, 250 milligram to 1000 milligram we get. Which one do I need? For how long do I need? Each comes with, you need to take for a certain period, stop it for a while, then take it for a certain period. Like that, there are different ways of doing it. Like for example, for one thing, whey protein. Now I travel a lot with the teams, I have to travel or for whatever reason. So the thing is this, I keep whey protein with me. Okay, now I always don't consume it, but if I'm somewhere out, I don't have enough of things with me, I will put oats into it, put whey a little bit into it, put water, shake it up, and drink it off. Okay, a basic example I'm giving you. So supplements are something convenience in today's life, and we need to be wise enough how we incorporate it in our day-to-day life.
Yeah, and on that note, there are a lot of new discussions on B12, amino acid, vitamin D, omega, and things like
Yes.
that. So I would like try to ask how important is B12? I know we've discussed about iron in length and breadth, but what is your take on, for example, a B12
B12, yeah.
or an
So
amino acid?
like, yes, so like iron, similarly, we are very much deficient in vitamin B12. Okay. The majority of the food sources are your non-veg items, that too from the red meat. And most of us don't eat, or we also don't talk about it to consume more of red meat, because in the name of B12, you will get a lot of the saturated fats and all of that. So yes, we are deficient in vitamin B12. And for vitamin B12, your probiotic intake or the gut health is very, very important. We call it intrinsic factor. So whenever we give vitamin B12 supplement, a probiotic is very, very important along with it for its proper absorption in the gut. So B12 is important to improving your alertness, your energy levels, your blood health. In so many ways, vitamin B12 plays a very important role. For your nerve health, it's very, very important. This neurological conditions we were talking in the beginning, vitamin B12, if you're deficient in it, there are so many issues with the nerve health, you will get it with that. So and B12 is water soluble. So we easily lose vitamin B12 through urine and sweat. So that's why if you're low in it, I always recommend supplement it. A good one we need to see. And if the levels are really low, we can go with injections of vitamin. Sometimes I have to recommend vitamin B12 shots to my athletes because they're extremely low in it.
Yeah, and the most interesting topic of today's time, gut health. Everyone's gotten on the bandwagon with it.
Yeah, it's become like marketing propaganda as
yeah.
well.
So
Yeah.
there are various things out there in terms of products, in terms of knowledge
Yes.
sharing, just about gut health. Someone who has lived primarily most of my life in India, now in like in different parts of the world, traveling, I do see this as being a very effective topic. But I was born and raised in South India. Of course, like we consumed a lot of probiotics in our day-to-day eateries.
Yes.
Because mostly it was vegetarian and very rarely it was, you know, meat-based and definitely not red meat. So for us, for me, it's very easy to reach out to probiotics and to have like, you know, fermented food because
Fermented foods.
yeah, that is our day-to-day nutrition or intake. But what is the general conception behind gut and how important is it and how can you better it?
Okay, so see, Pooja, gut health is very important for everybody, and it's beyond just digestion. Your immunity resides in your gut health. If your gut is good, your immunity will be strong. Your mental health is related with it. When your gut is not okay, even there is fogginess, brain fog, mental clarity is not there. You can't focus. Like I said, overall, this has become one marketing propaganda. Like we have probiotic dahi, we have probiotic ice cream. And in that name of probiotic ice cream, there's loads of sugar and dairy. Anyways, dairy is there. Where some bacteria they have added and then calling it and it's not helping our gut. So what I always recommend all these products and all, first correct your food. Because what garbage you are putting in that gut basically is what creating problem in your gut. No point popping in a probiotic pill and next minute you are popping in some other processed junk item in that gut. It's not going to help you. So the whole thing is I go very simple and basic with gut health improvement, and it's a priority for me when I work with people. Majority of the weight loss cases that come to me comes with same stomach related issues, bloating, gas, constipation, indigestion, acidity. So many of these issues are there. And when you have these things, neither your supplements nor your food, nothing is going to be digested. So my whole point is like, whether you are in North India, South India, have basic food items, more of whole foods rather than something from package. Because what happens though, your gut is screwed up. Why? Because that packaged or the processed item you have has maida, lot of chemicals in it, flavorings, then some other for another taste thing is added in there. All of those things are creating problem in your gut. So start clearing up your diet first. Your stress also takes a toll on your gut. A lot of these corporates, when I deal with them, a lot of them have stomach-related issues. IBS is pretty common, irritable bowel syndrome. Okay, and stress is one of the factor that is creating problem. So stress is one thing. Diet is one thing that needs to be taken care of. And in today's time, what something is creating problem is this gluten and dairy is also creating a lot of problem because the gluten or the wheat and dairy, what we used to get earlier is no more the same quality that we get in today's time. And it has a lot of chemicals and hormones, and our wheat is genetically modified one that also is creating a lot of gut issues. So when these gut problems come in, we need to first understand what is creating problem. Why my gut is not okay before putting a band-aid of just a tablet or a pill on it. We need to understand why it's happening, correct that, and obviously you will have a much more better life than just popping in some pills.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much, Reshmi. I wish I had unlimited time with you, but I have only a couple of minutes left and I would have to conclude this. But before that, I would also like to ask you to give us like your final remarks. You know, if there's one thing that you would like irrespective of athletes or any person in general to focus on in nutrition, what would that be? And yeah.
Okay, so my one message that I want to tell everybody is like, take care of yourself properly, because this is the body wherein you have to live longer. Okay, we think 110 times before buying a mobile or a gadget, but we don't think even twice what we are putting in our mouth. And as we are aging, okay, we need to take more care of our health. It's not like teenagers and all, that age is different. We are still careless about it. We take care of things. But if you are an athlete, obviously you need to take care of your nutrition and a general population. We are very busy in our today's life. We have different things to take care, and health somewhere becomes last in the list, in our priority list. Sometimes it's not even there in our priority list. So somewhere we need to think, if health is fine, rest, everything will come in the picture. So when you eat, it's not, today only I posted, eating healthy is not self-restriction, it's self-respect. Take it as a respect that what you are putting in your mouth is something you are taking care of yourself, rather than thinking, I am dieting, I'm restricting myself. Stop these kind of beliefs, and that's when you will start enjoying taking care of yourself and not take it as a separate chore for yourself that, oh, I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this. It won't be like that if you start giving it a priority in a positive sense, basically.
Yeah, thank you so much, Rashmi. It's been wonderful, and it has been so informative, and you've been so kind and shared with us so many of the myth breakers and knowledge gainers. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast, and I wish you the very, very best. And hopefully I will see you again somewhere soon and come back with the next episode with another wonderful female. Thank you. Thanks again.
Welcome, Pooja, and thank you so much again for inviting me for this podcast. And even I had a great time discussing, and I love talking about nutrition. So thanks again for this invitation.